Part 1. The Sources. Inspiration and Time's Flow. In composed or scripted art forms, there are two kinds of time. The moment of inspiration, in which a direct intuition of beauty or truth comes to the artist, and then often the laborious struggle to hold onto it long enough to get it down on paper or canvas, film or stone. In composed music or theater, moreover, there is yet a third kind of time, besides the moment or moments of inspiration and the time it takes to write the score, there is the time of the actual performance. In improvisation, there is only one time: inspiration. The technical structuring and the communication are all one. Improvisation is called extemporization, meaning both outside of time and from the time. And if the result is to be a tangible artwork, the creative inspiration must be sustained in time. The ideal is a moment-to-moment, non-stop flow. This is what many spiritual traditions refer to when they speak of, quote, chopping wood, carrying water, end quote. In other words, bringing into the humdrum activities of daily life the qualities of luminosity, depth, and simplicity within complexity that we associate with inspired moments. Then we can truly say, we have no art. Everything we do is art. And we can lead an active life in the world without being entangled in the scripts of our rigid expectations, doing without being too attached to the outcome, because the doing is its own outcome. You have to teach each person, each group class, each moment as a particular case that calls out for particular handling. Planning an agenda of learning without knowing who is going to be there, what their strengths and weaknesses are, how they interact, prevents surprises and prevents learning. The teacher's art is to connect in real time the living bodies of the students with the living body of the knowledge. You certainly use your training, you refer to it as a teacher, you understand it, ground yourself in it, but you don't allow your training to blind you to the actual person who is sitting in front of you. In this way, you pass beyond competence to presence. To do anything artistically, you have to acquire technique, but you create through your technique and not with it. Faithfulness to the moment entails continuous surrender. As an improvising musician, you're not in the music business, you're in the creativity business, you're in the surrender business. Improvisation is acceptance in a single breath of both transience and eternity. To be an improviser, you have to go out on a limb and take risks, perhaps occasionally fall flat on your face. In fact, what audiences love most is for you to go ahead and fall. Then they get to see how you manage to pick yourself up and put the world back together again. A creative life is risky business. The fact that improvisation vanishes makes us appreciate that every moment of life is unique. The vehicle. The minute particulars of body, speech, mind, and movement are what we call style. The essence of style is our original nature. We construct our, quote, self through the perceptions, learning, and expectations of the world. And these two constructions, self and the world's expectations, mesh in normally adjusted individuals. Our work takes on, to a certain extent, the style of the time in which we live. But somehow, even when we're grown up and, quote, adjusted, everything we do and are symptomatic of our original nature. Improvisation has its rules, even if they're not a priori rules. When we are totally faithful to our originality, we are actually following a very intricate design. An improviser does not operate from a formless vacuum, but from 3 billion years of organic evolution. Beyond that vast history, we have even more to draw upon. The dialogue of the self, which is not only with the past, the future, and the environment, but the divine within us. Virtually every spiritual tradition distinguishes the self-clinging ego from the deeper creative self, little self as opposed to big self. The big self is transpersonal beyond any separated individuality, the common ground we all share. William Blake said, quote, Jesus was all virtue and acted from impulse, not from rules. E. E. Cummings, explaining the difference between impulse and rules, wrote the following: when God decided to invent everything, he took one breath bigger than a circus tent, and everything began. When man determined to destroy himself, he picked the was of shall, and finding only why, smashed it into because. The spontaneous is the vehicle of evolution, the vehicle of passion. If you forget yourself, you become the universe. That was Hakun. That mysterious factor of surrender, the creative surprise that releases us and opens us up, spontaneously allows something to arise. The stream. Michelangelo claimed that he was guided by a faculty he called intelletto, a visionary intelligence, a deep seeing of the underlying pattern beneath appearances. Here the artist is removing apparent surfaces from the self, revealing his original nature. In the act of improvising, we can do a number of things consciously, but the content cannot be taught or learned. This seemingly endless stream that comes out of us is the stream of consciousness, and we sense something else beyond the personal from a source that is both very old and very new, but it's always there. Spiritual traditions the world over continuously reference that the person is a vessel or conduit through which a transpersonal force flows, which can be enhanced through practice and discipline of various sorts, or it can become blocked and bottled up through neglect, poor practice, or fear. It can be used for good or evil. It flows through us, yet we do not own it. It appears as a principal factor in the arts, healing, and in religion. It is expressed in the realm of pattern. Absolutely everything in nature arises from the power of free play, sloshing against the power of limits. Patterns in nature are self-organizing patterns. Whether you call it evolution or creation, the unending flow of time and space is the creative process inherent in nature. The creative and the receptive, making and sensing, are a resonating pair, matching and answering each other. Michelangelo followed Plato's idea that learning is really remembering. The knowledge we tap into, a flux that is not random, but is itself a pattern of patterns, is what we experience in inspiration. We are tuning into this ever-present, ever-changing environment of information about the deep structure of our world, the ever-flowing Tao. The Muse. The source of creative inspiration has been variously identified in all the world's cultures, like Ganesha, who served as secretary to the poets of the Indian epic, the Mahabharata, and took dictation. The Ganesha myth inverts the relationship. It shows us inspiration coming straight from the poet's heart. The godlike phenomenon is not the inspiration, but the craft by which the inspiration is realized. The muse is the living voice of intuition. Intuition is a synaptic summation, our whole nervous system balancing and combining multivariate complexities in a single flash. Reasoned knowledge proceeds from information. Intuitive knowledge, on the other hand, proceeds from everything we know and everything we are. It converges on the moment from a rich plurality of directions and sources, hence the feeling of absolute certainty that is traditionally associated with intuitive knowledge. Mastery means responsibility, ability to respond in real time to the need of the moment. Intuitive or inspired living means not just passively hearing the voice, but acting on it. Improvisation is intuition in action. We begin by that always surprising process of free invention in which we have nothing to gain and nothing to lose. The outpourings of intuition consist of a continuous rapid flow of choice after choice. The choices and images open into each other so rapidly that we have no time to get scared and retreat from what the intuition is telling us. Finding the heart's voice is our quest to learn to speak with our own voice. Mind at play. All creative acts are forms of play, and the starting place of activity in the human growth cycle and one of the great primal life functions. Without play, learning and evolution are impossible. Play is the taproot from which original art springs. Technique itself springs from play, because we can acquire technique only by the practice, by consistently experimenting and playing with our tools and testing their limits and resistances. The creative mind plays with objects it loves. Play is not what we do, but how we do it. To play is to free ourselves from arbitrary restrictions and expand our field of action. Play makes us flexible. Without skill, there is no art. Play is intrinsically satisfying. It is not conditioned on anything else. Play, creativity, art, spontaneity, all these experiences are their own rewards and are blocked when we perform for reward or punishment, profit or loss. Play is without why. It is self-existent. Play is done that it is done. When we have nothing to gain and nothing to lose, we can really play. The archetypes from ancient myths and symbols of the fool, the trickster, and the child represent the spirit of play. The fool served in a way as fools, tricksters, holy buffoons, and also shamans to some degree, served in a way as muses, channeling the straight talk of the unconscious without fear or shame that inhibits normal adults. The trickster's play is completely free, and he is the creator of culture, and in many myths, the creator of other gods. The inner child represents the recovery of our original child mind within each of us, and is of service to the total self. Full-blown artistic creativity takes place when a trained and skilled grown-up is able to tap the source of clear, unbroken play consciousness of the small child within. The child is the voice of our inner knowing. It is only in being creative that the individual discovers the self. Disappearing. For art to appear, we have to disappear. Mind and sense are arrested for a moment, fully in the experience. Self and the environment unite. Attention and intention fuse. This lively and vigorous state of mind is the most favorable to the germination of the original work of any kind. You feel alert and alive. Effort becomes effortless. You forget time and space and who you are. It is like samadhi, when the self-clinging personality somehow drops away, and you are both entranced and alert at the same time. It is like Sufi dancing, when the mind is so intensely preoccupied with activity, the brain waves are so thoroughly entrained by the compelling and powerful rhythms that the ordinary self is left behind and a form of heightened awareness arises. The great ways of emptying the self, meditation, dance, love, and play, is like tuning a musical instrument. In tuning, we are forced to obliterate outside noises and distractions, and we get more and more deeply into the sound. We enter into a kind of trance state. This intensified listening is deep play, total immersion in the game. In tuning the instrument, we tune the spirit.